A will is a legal document that indicates how you want your assets to be distributed after one passes away.
Oh.
It's a fluid document because it has no effect until death, which means you can change it whenever you want. With the growth of personal wealth of citizens in China, there's also coupling an effect of the growth in the number of inheritance dispute cases in court. The elderly passes away without leaving a will, or leaving a will which the children think is unfair or invalid, and family feud arises as a result. Let's talk about the current situation of the lack of a will in
Definitely
China.
one of the biggest questions is, will you will?
Will
you will?
All right, so data published by the Beijing Xicheng District Court recently showed that the number of cases related to inheritance and will continue to increase year by year. According to a press conference held by the district court on July the 21st, there were 56 cases on inheritance disputes in 2014, but the number rose to 109 in 2015 and 121 in 2016. And there have already been 90 such cases accepted by the court in the first half of 2017, and the number is expected to increase to a new peak this year. So the silver lining I got from this is that people now have more and more fortune to pass on. As for me, I have nothing to write in my will because I just have nothing.
Well, you're still very young.
And thank you.
I have to say ditto. I don't have much to write in that
one
either.
Mine would be a blank sheet of paper.
Yeah.
With a smiley face.
Nothing's there. I'll say Brian is awesome to my will because I just need to write something there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just put a smiley face, you know, whatever. Hopefully people laugh. But, you know, so the reason why this is maybe becoming something that we're talking about more is because there is a huge aging population in China, as well, you know, even in countries like the U.S., but especially here in China, we're seeing a lot of people, you know, aging. And so with that coming to the forefront, we see a lot of people saying, okay, you know, maybe property that was bought a long time ago by these elderly, now it's worth a lot of money. And so when there's money, people are like, okay, well, this person's getting, you know, older in age, and people are it's like the elephant in the room, which is a phrase in English we say. Nobody talks about it, but everybody knows it's there. Whereas, you know, you don't want to talk about maybe the elderly in your family passing away and what that would mean for the family who gets what of theirs. You know, that's just so taboo, I think, to talk about. But definitely people know it's there. And now because of, you know, all this, let's say, property that maybe some of these people own here in Beijing or in other places as well, Guangzhou houses have got a lot of value now. So the question is, you know, will you will? Okay. And so a report from Legal Daily said Jiangsu is one of the earliest provinces that has entered the aging society in China. And to give you a good example of kind of what's going on, by the end of 2015, there were nearly 16.5 million people over the age of 60 and over 11 million people over the age of 65 in the province, taking up 21.36% and 14.45% of the total registered household population. So again, what I'm saying is these people have houses. They're a huge portion of the household registered population, and they're getting older. So what does this mean? Are you going to hit the conflicts, or are people going to start maybe using things like wills?
Yeah, that explains it very well, you guys. Thank you for doing that. And certainly, I think we are experiencing an age of change right now, as in the last less than two decades of years, we've seen the property market in China balloon. And so during that time period, people have experienced of your property. Well, everybody needs a place to live. So that's like one of the basics for Chinese people. You've seen its value go from not a lot to exponential growth. Yeah. So that makes the property value, something that affects most people, because there is this valuable asset that would you want it to be passed on to your kids or give it to someone, or how do you arrange it? So it becomes one issue that affects many people. It doesn't mean that you have to have a lot of savings in your account, but you have that elephant in the room that one needs to deal with.
Well, let's talk about the facts and how this growing elderly population is handling this kind of maybe situation they're going to have to encounter here soon. So let's take Nanning in Guangzhou Autonomous Region as an example. I guess there were altogether 98 cases on property inheritance conflicts from January 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2016. Over 60% of them did not have a will. So you're seeing in these court cases, most of them, nobody even thought to write a will. So you're just creating maybe a massive headache and maybe even problems with your family post you being there. And according to the most optimistic estimation, I'd say, by Tencent's public WeChat account, today's topic, it said only 1% of 220 million Chinese elderly made a will. So this paints a huge picture. This is not so common among maybe elderly Chinese. Yet these are the people that are getting closer and closer to becoming elderly, and maybe, you know, at some point having to think about how my property and what I have should be carried on throughout the family. Yet they aren't going through any legal means of necessarily doing that.
Yeah, I'm actually not surprised by it, because traditionally people would say that making a will has certain kind of like unlucky sense in it, because you're kind of saying that when I'm passed away, something would happen, should happen like this. So you're talking about when you're passed away, and people don't like to talk about death. And I don't blame them for that, because they just fear, the fear of death is kind of like an natural human emotion. So, and also when people, well, in ancient China, because we have a long, long history, so people kind of have this certain understanding towards your property. That is, when I pass away, my property or whatever assets I have will pass on to my spouse or to my kids. They don't necessarily think there is a necessity to have a will. And also, if the family is a little bit complicated, saying that it's you're marrying to someone who has a kid, things like that, or you're having more than one kid, the will part is, people have this understanding that even though I'm making a will, if I don't discuss this with my family, with my relatives, or my offsprings, it won't be valid. That is why we're seeing a lack of will in the past. But apparently, this is changing. More and more people are making will.
Yeah, I don't think death was something that is necessarily feared of in the past. I mean, let's take some of the ancient empires and how they handled death. Let's say Pharaoh started building a pyramid, you know, early in their maybe being the leader of their great empire. Same with probably a lot of different leaders around the world. Back then, you started your monuments of what you would be after your life while you were still alive. So it's just something maybe they were like, well, I know I'm going to die, and I know I want my awesomeness to be remembered throughout time. I better start building something right now. A lot of leaders, I think, had that thought. So maybe back then, even if a leader who was many times in many societies thought to be on the level of a god, you know, these people were embracing death. So I don't think that necessarily means people back then were afraid of death. But let's say this. I think that though we think times have changed so much, I think what the deal has been, and even now, people aren't afraid of death. It is a part of life. It's like being born, you know? I think what it is that materialism of death, that almost like you are nickel and diming, putting money on somebody's death. You're deciding what they are worth before they even die, and who gets what this person earned. Which is in a way like saying, oh, you're going to die. Well, we might as well just make sure all your stuff goes to somebody, you know, and that's not necessarily nobody around the world, I think, would ever say, I want my family to fight over my assets. You would probably be like, if you were the one about to pass on, I just want to be remembered. But it seems like everybody only saw me as my apartment and who's going to get it and my car and all this stuff. And that's taboo. That's why I think it's the elephant in the room, is everybody knows about it. Everybody does maybe want the apartment. Who doesn't want an apartment in Beijing? But when it involves the passing away of your father, then that's suddenly a very weird and uncomfortable position to be in. So when you write that will, in a way, that's what you're doing. You're admitting that this person is going to pass away, and everything that this person was in a materialistic way is what you're doing with a will. So to write that will means that maybe that matters so much. And when you say that matters so much, maybe you lose the humanity of death.
Yeah, I think certainly that is the complicated sentiment that families feel when it's kind of that time. Because when you look at those beneficiaries, potentially, it's bad to bring this up. You can't bring that up. Yeah, like we can all feel and sense that awkwardness. So you don't want to do that. And then it's almost up to the person who is in control and ownership of the assets to decide whether he or she wants to write a will. And here comes that part that Yu Honglin has mentioned earlier. It's a bit taboo in Chinese culture, and I know it's this is something that's shared by a lot of people from different cultural backgrounds, and so it's all up to that person to make the decision. And in China, most of the time, people simply do not want to touch that. But in the background, as we've introduced earlier on, as people are owning more assets or more valuable assets, be it the property you live in or the savings you have, or maybe the paintings that you have collected or whatever possession that's under your name, and the fact that Chinese family relationships have become a little bit more complicated. Yeah. As we all know, divorce rate has been on the rise, which means there are going to be more families that have divorcees luckily finding love again and remarry, but then family structure is very complicated in comparison. So with all that bared in mind, is there any way that these potential family feuds can be reduced?
Well, let's talk. First, I want to talk about the five types of wills in China to better understand how all of this comes to the forefray of what you would do. Maybe also families aren't doing wills because I'll tell you, it's actually a pretty complicated process. Mm. So let's talk about there's five types of wills in China. A notarial will, testator will, wills written on the behalf of the testator, sound recording wills, and non-cupitative wills.
Ooh, complicated.
These are some complicated words I'm not necessarily privy to. So according to China's law of succession, Article 17, a notarial rule or will is one made by the testator through the notary agency. It's 100% valid. Even if the offspring is not satisfied, they can only accept it. So basically, according to Article 17, whatever this person writes, that's the way it is, all right? So if I'm writing the will, that's what the will is. Nobody can change that. Also, Article 20 says a notary place will, they cannot be revoked or altered by anybody else who's maybe related to the family member, only the person that's writing the will. Okay, so also Article 17, will is one made in the testator's own handwriting and signed by them, specifically the date of its making. So this will was written by them. They have to write it. It has to be dated, all of this stuff. If it's not done, then it becomes invalid. And the property, also, if it's owned by two different parties, let's say me and my wife, it's a joint property, and in which case both sides must write, do the same thing, and confirm where the property goes to when one dies or when both dies, okay? And as we go through, we find out that, let's say, not in every specific case you want to think about your father dying or something like that, but let's say you wait till the last minute, this person can't make it to the notary agency. You know, maybe they're on their deathbed. And in which case, you have a special circumstance where you can have, I guess, two to three witnesses whom will help decide what the will was said, date it, sign along with it. So basically you have to have people saying, okay, on his deathbed he wrote or he said X, Y, and Z of who gets what, and they all sign it, they all date it. But as I understand, guys, this is really pretty complicated law. And if you don't do it right with, like, between a tooth, if you don't get it spot on, it's invalid. So you need to have people signing it, people dating it, if they're witnessing it. There's a lot of different stipulations that come to play when you're doing wills.
Yes, that's a very potentially contested issue because it could mean it could be an infringement on the interest of different people. Mm. So to avoid the family feud, like we talked about in the beginning of the show, to avoid all that headache and all those pitfalls, New Holland, what else needs to be kept in mind or be executed for a will to be valid?
Well, first of all, I'd like to stress that the first kind of will, which has been acknowledged by the notarial agency, is the strongest one. It has the greatest power. It can't be changed if you are not, like Ryan has said, if you're using the later forms of will. You're changing it if you're making changes to the first type, you got to make it right or it's going to be invalid. And also, I'd like to tell a little story, a news story, to get your two cents on it. It's actually in 2015. A Mr. O, the guy named surname O, he actually has separated with his wife for almost 20 years. They're not living together, but they didn't sign a divorce paper. And he made a will to give his apartment and some of his fortune to the other woman. But at the end, the court says that he has no right to do that. So this is the case where you sign a will, but the will has no valid legal base. That means that your will is no longer valid in that case.
And that was according to the court documents as an explanation to this ruling, is because that Chinese marriage law sacredly protects the interest and the rights of the wife. And in that particular case, because the testator's will was against public order or the social morals that Chinese society advocates for, so therefore there is this case that seems that the will doesn't always get executed according to your will.
Here's the issue in a nutshell, is we have this population that is aging and becoming bigger and bigger in China, yet people are not doing things like wills. And in fact, as you can understand, there's a lot of vocabulary that is not said as commonly. It's very complicated, right? So that could be one layer of the issue. Also, you have just that family struggle of putting an amount and looking at someone's death in a way of who's going to get what. That's so taboo. So, but people obviously do care, though they don't always do the wills. And necessarily, I'd say the family wants some of what maybe their you know, parents or people left behind, their elders. And so we see a growing amount of cases of people fighting over stuff, yet wills aren't being done. And so maybe the case here is, why aren't wills being done? And and what can be done to help people get wills, to know the power of a will, to maybe, because we say, oh, maybe it'll hurt the family, but I feel like the fighting that goes on in these courts after this person didn't do their will destroys a family more, as if he just says, okay, you get this and you get that. And nobody's fighting in court because court's often the ugliest place where you see people fight over materialism. That could tear a family apart. So what do you guys think? What can be done?
Yeah, I think for the government's perspective, at least you can make the process easier so that people would find it easy to make a will and make sure that they understand not every will you make is valid according to law. So understand the procedure and simplify the procedure and understand the ruling of it.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, this is not something that's uncomplicated. It seems like it's a very complicated procedure.
Yeah.
So make sure you know what you're doing. Like New Hong Lin had said, maybe in certain circumstances, in hospitals and whatnot, even though maybe it's uncouth, say, hey, you know, if this seems like it might be terminal, and in which case you should think about maybe doing a will, and in which case we can provide you with the proper information to be able to do that. Because though it's not comfortable, it is a part of life.
Yes, and it is part of humanity that is universal, that is shared even by the Americans. According to a 2015 survey by Harris Poll, 64% of Americans don't have a will, and the number one reason is they don't think that they've gotten to it. Similar here in China. You're listening to Roundtable.